Georgia Virtue presents the Let Me Tell You Why You're Wrong podcast.
Thank you for downloading episode 315. This week, we have the mess in the Middle East, the Trump doo-doo show, facts are racist, the Kennedy clan, the House majority gets smaller, stupidity runs in families, rural Savannah, and quote-unquote tax cuts. I'm Dave Roberts. With me is my part of this endeavor, Representative Emeritus Ken Pullen.
I'm not sure taxes are ever being cut. I don't know.
I don't know how they keep racking. They dislocate their shoulders patting themselves on the back, and somehow my state taxes go up.
I know, and we're sort of having this debate locally down here where I live around, do we want more business or less business? And from time to time, people say, you got to have more business so your property taxes go down. I've never seen property taxes go down because another business moves into town. I think that is a total made-up statement.
Hiram made a deal with the residents a long time ago. They said, if we approve liquor by the drink, we will never impose taxes on homeowners. And up until now, they haven't.
Wow. No now property tax or just city taxes?
No city taxes.
Okay, I got you.
No, it doesn't exempt it from the county.
Yep.
I did see that Dickie Betts died.
I know. Yeah, the Allman Brothers, famous Macon band, a little south of me, a little south of you also. I didn't realize this, but they were formed in 1969 in Jacksonville, Florida, and they moved to Macon soon after. Yeah, they're fine. I mean, you know, everybody loves their music. They could go on playing for 10, 15 minutes the same song. They were quite the band.
Oh, he was a hell of a guitarist.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, if you listen to any of the Allman Brothers stuff and you hear that singing guitar, that's Dickie Betts.
Yeah, he's amazing.
You know, the Allman Brothers band is huge. They had two drummers, rhythm guitar, a slide guitar, lead guitar, a piano or organ. I mean, they put on a heck of a show, and Dickie always looked like he was having fun. I mean, he was always smiling on stage and looked like he's having the time of his life.
No, how can you not be having fun playing music all the time?
I mean, the Stones are still doing it.
Yeah, I mean, they just are out there having fun.
Did you see who sponsored their latest tour?
Uh-uh.
AARP. That's not a joke either.
That's too funny.
He was 80. He had cancer.
Mm-hmm. Been battling cancer for a while. Yep.
Yeah. As they always say, died surrounded by friends and family. You know, cancer is a thief. It really is.
80 is a good age to live to. I know the life expectancy now, it feels like, I think it's around 86 for most people. But I mean, if you make it to 80 and you've been a famous band for a long time, you've lived a good life.
I think he probably lived a pretty hard life when he was young.
I'm sure.
I mean, you know, we talk about that with a lot of the hard rockers that passed. Like, man, he outlived a lot. Even Tom Petty, who I love Tom Petty.
Yep.
But he lived a hard life, a good life, but a hard life, buddy.
Yep. No doubt.
I have the theory that he dated Stevie Nicks. That there, it was more than just an onstage thing. But that's my theory. It's not necessarily anything in fact, but they were two young, very rich, successful, and good-looking people.
Right.
Her more than him, but. What is this other note you have here?
Have you ever used the before in a certain year in Google? So, okay, let me tell you where this came about. I saw this today. So if you go to Google now and say, can a man menstruate? Google comes back and says, yes, some men can menstruate, including transgender men, non-binary people, and agender people. I don't know what an agender is. It said menstruation doesn't change anything about your gender, and it's just a thing that some bodies do. However, some men who menstruate experience dysphoria or discomfort with their assigned biological sex. If you go into Google and put before : 2016 and search on the same thing, let me read what it says. So then it says, it gives a complete different definition of what Google is. So I saw this out there today. It's like, wow, that you can put a particular year into Google, into the search, and you can look for a particular year. And what it's doing, Elon Musk actually highlighted this on Twitter today, where it's different definitions depending upon the different years. And it's just like, so that's what I was getting you to do is, yeah, if you have any free time, go out there. You can put before 2020, 2022. It doesn't matter what year you put. It's going to go back in time and actually pull up the articles from that period of time and get the results from that time period.
Nice.
Yeah, thought that was interesting. Learned something new today.
They'll fix that.
I think I'm going to start doing that on all searches.
Try to find some actual facts.
Yeah, because if you did on before 2016, it's like, you know, men do not menstruate. Only women menstruate. But then, you know, 8 years later, it's like, yeah, anybody can menstruate, men included.
No. There's actually a South Park about that. A couple of them about it. One was Mr. Garrison decides to become Mrs. Garrison.
Right.
And he's like, well, it hasn't been this time of the month yet. And like, he goes, oh my God, I'm pregnant.
I know, I've seen that.
So we have the war in the Middle East.
Yeah, I was wondering how far this was going to go. So, you know, the background of this is Israel bombed and killed an Iranian general. What was it, 2-3 weeks ago? This was a high-ranking general. He's meeting with Hezbollah to the north. They killed him, and Iran was threatening to strike Israel back. And we know earlier this week that Iran sent tons of drones and, you know, some rockets, and you know, Israel, along with the United States and Great Britain, intercepted almost every one of them. They had like a 99% acceptance rate. After that, Biden and Kamala Harris basically said, okay, Israel, you know, you got yours. Iran attacked back. You don't need to do anything else. And early last Friday morning, Israel launched another retaliatory strike against Iran, where they bombed, you know, I forget what it was. It was like a place in Iran that had launched some of these bombs at them. So who knows what's going to happen here, but it's getting pretty heated over. If it could get any hotter in the Middle East, it feels like the tensions continue to rise.
Well, Iran is saying there was no damage. It was pointless. So they are preparing themselves to de-escalate.
Yep. Yeah, I think they want to de-escalate at this point.
Iran can't survive a shooting war.
No.
And people in the States tend to lump everybody in the Middle East together. Iranians are Persians. They're not Arab.
Yep.
They don't like each other. Yes, they worship the same religion, but they do not like each other.
Yep.
And that's where you see Jordan shooting down drones and rockets that are going over their sovereign airspace.
Mm-hmm.
And the king of Jordan said, "You're not going to fly stuff over our airspace."
Yep.
And typically, when you do that, you get permission. Now, I don't think these were manned attacks.
No,
I don't think they were drones or what it was. But I don't see any of the Arab nations getting upset at Israel striking Iran.
No, I don't think they are.
The crown prince of Iran in exile was on TV. And, you know, he obviously wants his country back.
Yeah.
The Iranians have a large army, but everything they have is dated.
Yes.
Like the Air Force is using F-14s, Tomcats, that date back to the days of the Shahs back in the 70s.
Yeah, it just seems like to me, I know this is a religious thing, but it seems like Iran could just, I mean, the people there are obviously oppressed. I mean, the country could just become so much better if they opened it up. But they just refused to.
It was the jewel of the area.
Exactly. I've seen photos from Iran too. It's amazing what the country looks like.
Yeah, in the '60s, you know, you see women walk around in bikinis. It was a completely secular society.
Yep.
Yes, there were Muslims, and yes, there were people that wear hijabs or whatever. But there were no hard fast Sharia laws. I mean, if you saw one in a bikini, you didn't immediately pull out a stick and start beating her.
Right.
Yeah, it was a fairly progressive society, and Americans would fly, you know, fly into Iran and go and party.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, and that's all they've got to do now is just open it back up. I mean, it would take years to open back up, but I just don't understand what. Yeah,
it's well, I said the same thing about Venezuela. If they would topple their government, they have one of the most beautiful countries on earth.
Yep,
they have beach towns, they have mountains, they have beautiful waterfalls. I mean, it'd be a wonderful place to visit.
Yep.
I just don't want to get thrown into a gulag because I want to go fishing. That is, you know, back in the 90s, I went to Aruba, and most of their fruits and vegetables came from Venezuela because they're so close.
Yeah.
And now, obviously, it's not. They're not producing enough food to feed their people.
Yeah, and I think we put more sanctions on Venezuela last week, more oil sanctions. So it's not getting any better.
Yeah. So the Venezuelans that come here, I really think are political refugees.
Yeah.
The Guatemalans that come here are not political refugees.
Right.
I don't have anything against Guatemala. In fact, there's a fishing lodge down there called Casa Viejo I want to go to. I know everything revolves around me and saltwater fishing.
It sounds like it.
But I like Biden. Don't.
Yeah, don't.
Shut up, Joe. Shut up.
Yeah, hey, look, this dude, I mean, I didn't think he'd go any further downhill, but after watching some of his actions this week, he's getting worse at the month now, to the point that if he makes November, it'll be an absolute miracle.
They will prop him up with duct tape and baling wire.
I guess.
To get him through and then to go, oh, well, the president's had a...
Yeah, he's going to have to step down.
Had a medical
down.
Emergency. He's going to step down, and old Mella will be God. In charge.
Yeah, God help us if she is.
Okay. Joe has dementia. Kamala's just stupid.
Yeah, she's dumb as a rock.
So we have, speaking of dumb things, the Trump jury.
Yeah, this is the jury in a criminal hush money trial. So the trial started last Monday, so a week before this episode releases. So they finally picked their jury. It took them all week. It's made up of 7 men and 5 women who live in different parts of Manhattan. I thought it was pretty interesting looking at, I don't know if you read some of the backgrounds on this on the jury, but you know, it's like they asked all the jurors, basically, where do you get your news? So like juror number one's a man. He works in sales. Some college education. He's married with no children, says he gets his news from a range of outlets such as the New York Times, Daily Mail, Fox News, and MSNBC. So they basically documented everyone. You know, that was what they asked. And they asked every one of them if they had opinions on Trump or strong opinions on Trump. Like juror number 5 is a young woman who said that she has friends with strong opinions on Trump, but she was not a political person and avoided the news. Yeah, I don't know. You know, juror number 8's retired wealth manager who is married with children asked if he has strong opinions about Trump. He paused for a minute before answering yes. And then when a judge followed up and asked if he could be fair and impartial, he said he could. I don't know how any of these people are fair and impartial. Who doesn't have a strong feeling about Trump at this point and can make a fair and balanced decision? I just don't know how any of them do.
No. First of all, the person's like, oh, I don't really follow the news. Well, that may be true. That may be true. You don't follow the news, but you know who the hell Donald Trump is.
Yes. And in the back of their mind, they've got to be thinking that if they let this guy off and find President Trump innocent, then everybody at that point is going to know who they are and it's going to come after him. So in the back of their mind, they've got to be thinking like, what's the safest thing for me to do as a juror? And, you know, when you start thinking that way, there's no way justice can prevail.
And a call back from last week, you start talking about the OJ trial.
Oh,
where
yeah.
They were worried about the repercussions of finding OJ not guilty.
Yes, right.
Or finding him guilty.
Yeah, yeah.
That the city would burn again.
Yes, exactly. So, and that was in the back of their minds.
At least a few of them.
Oh, and all it takes is a few, right?
Well, it takes one to hang a jury.
Yep.
But... But they acquitted OJ, and it was this is going to be the same thing the other way, is that if they find him not guilty, they're going to have to go home, and people are going to know, well, where have you been for 2 weeks?
Oh yeah, everybody, all their friends are going to know they were on a jury, and then how's that going to play out?
I just don't believe that anybody says, well, I don't really follow politics. Well, that's a person that watches reality TV, and you can't tell me they didn't watch The Apprentice.
I know. I don't. Yeah. Who doesn't follow politics in today's world? I mean, even if you try not to, they're still right there in your face and all everywhere you turn.
And they say, well, my friends are really involved. That means your friends are talking to you about it. That's how you know.
Oh, 100%.
You know, we didn't absorb ourselves in politics when I was younger. It just wasn't a thing. If you wanted to argue with your neighbor, it'd be over football.
Yeah, we never talked about it growing up. I really didn't start getting, paying attention. I was probably low 30s, mid 30s. I just never paid any attention.
I was young and into it. I mean, I was a little Alex P. Keaton.
That's why I've always been amazed at these young kids that are working for political campaigns or even people that run for office when they're 21, 22 years old. I always think, how do they get involved at such an early age and have that passion to go out and run for office? I mean, I think it's really cool that the young people do that. At that age, I wasn't worried about politics and running for office.
Oh, I was. I was a member of the Republican Party, a true member as soon as I turned 18.
Yeah, and my son's that way. I mean, Luke's what, 19? He's started a YAF chapter. He's in North Carolina at college, and he's doing this North Carolina State Legislature event this weekend where they're trying to, they put together legislation and try to get it passed from a college perspective. Yeah, so he's very involved. I just never was.
Well, the only issue that I have, and this is because I'm an old man, is when these kids are 22 years old wanting to run for, elected office, you don't have the life experience at 22. You're typically right out of college, and you just don't have the life experience yet.
So let me pose that a different way. These people in D.C. that have run up a $35 trillion budget are at the state level that vote for mega budgets every time and restrict rights and access and liberty and freedom. Is their life experiences, I mean, how did they get to that point, right?
I mean, that comes from being in that office. I've said it before. Washington is a river, and you go in as a jagged rock and you say, I'm going to change the river.
Yeah.
The rock doesn't change the river. The river changes the rock. And after a while, that jagged rock is smoothed over and is just rolling with the flow like the rest of the pebbles. And that's what happens is you get in these offices and you start getting the perks.
Oh, that's the perks 100%. It does it.
And in Washington, is very much about the cocktail party. If you're not getting along with the right people, you're not getting invited to the right cocktail parties.
Yeah, I think you see it. I mean, I think if you take the different levels of government, you see that at D.C. It's all about fitting in so you get invited to all the parties and you get all the political donations, which in turn keep you in office. At the state level, it's pretty much the same, right? You still get all the perks. The political donations come from lobbyists and big business, and that's what keeps you in office. Now, local level is a little different. I think what you see at the local level a lot of times is people are running for office that to purely benefit themselves or their financial pocketbooks. And I say that because county commission, IDA boards are made up of bankers. Well, who benefits when an industrial development authority brings a new business in a town? The bankers or the construction people that are doing construction or the people that have, local businesses that provide those type of services. So I think you see that at the local level. It's more of like, do you run for office because it's going to benefit you personally? And I'm totally against that, but I think that's what you see sometimes.
You see some ideologues.
There's not many locally. I get you, but there's not many. Less than 5%.
And I think there's a lot of pressure that goes on in executive sessions and stuff.
Yeah.
If you have somebody who's a little weaker spined, they get pushed by the rest of the commissioners of to vote the way they want them to vote. And I truly believe every vote on the county level is choreographed.
I think most are, probably.
Yeah. So look, or I have to vote no on this, but and explain why and say, I have to vote no on this, but you've got four other yes votes. So it's not going to hurt anything. So go out and do your theater, vote no. And and it's all good.
Yeah, that's true.
Everybody says the government that's closest to you. No, it's dirty as hell.
Yep.
City council shut down a business for 6 months and about put them completely out of business until going to court and Andrew Rodriguez, the guy who owns Dallas Markets, won in court. So they had to let him open back up.
Yep.
But the fact is, he was competing with the county, or with the city, I'm sorry, with the city of Dallas. He was competing with them because they would run events, and his events would blow. There was no parking. They had to buy an additional piece of property and buy a shuttle van to shuttle people to and from the Dallas markets because the parking lot was so full. And the city really wanted that property. So they about ran them out of business.
Yep.
So don't say illegal alien in class, apparently.
I know. So last week, this high school student named Christian McGee was suspended from Central Davidson High School in Lexington, North Carolina for 3 days last week after he used the term illegal alien in an English class assignment. This was first reported by the Libs of TikTok. So you probably followed the Libs of TikTok or seen them on Twitter. But basically, there was this, you know, the English teacher, they were having this discussion in class about, and she said, you know, come up with a phrase with alien in it. And he said, illegal alien. And one of the other classmates took offense to that and wanted to fight the kid.
No, he yeah. asked a question.
Yeah, he asked a question.
Space alien or like illegal alien?
Yep. And somebody else, you know, another kid in the class got mad. They sent this kid to the office and they suspended him for 3 days for saying illegal alien. It's truly amazing.
Facts are now racist.
Yeah, and look, if somebody else wants to fight you because of something that you said, the illegal alien word, the other kid should have been suspended.
Or handle it outside of school, square off, go for it.
Or just say, everybody's got freedom of speech and talk about the words. I mean, why would this get somebody suspended for 3 days? And what's even worse, this kid's like trying to get scholarships. And, you know, this is going down his permanent record now. And that's what his parents were so – they were upset about both. He got suspended. And then he said this is going to be his record. So college is going to be able to see this. And it's going to hurt him from getting accepted.
When did illegal alien become offensive?
I don't know. I don't even know what – I mean, what is the right term for the left now? I think it's migrants or something. I don't even know what I don't even know what they're calling them
undocumented
now.
Undocumented migrants or whatever.
Yeah, undocumented migrants.
Phil Collins has a song that line goes, it's no fun being an illegal alien.
Yep.
And Rush Limbaugh actually back in the 90s did a spoof of it. It's no fun being an illegal alien. I'm talking about Alien Gonzalez.
Yep.
But yeah, it's an old song, and it still plays, still there on Apple Music. I mean, it's fine. It's actually not a bad song, and he's actually coming.
Well, they'll probably take it down now after you mention it, Dave.
Yeah. But the song is actually written from the point of view of the illegal aliens and how hard it is to it's, he said, it's no fun being a legal alien. So it's actually written in a sympathetic way towards illegal aliens, but. Yeah, I'm not apologetic. First of all, the kid that got offended is a little B. The teacher that sent him to the office is a little B.
Yeah, she should have handled it without ever going to the office. There's no reason to send anybody to the office.
Well, she could say, well, we don't really use that term anymore, but yes, someone may have a resident alien card, and that's what a green card is.
Yep.
And handle it like that and educate them. And from her standpoint, educate him or say, look, you know, we're not going to use that term in this class, but I get what you're saying. Yes, you could use it as space aliens or people that are from countries that are not originally from the United States or haven't been naturalized are alien residents.
Yep. I know.
So I don't get it. This is North Carolina, man. This is not California.
North Carolina's very, I mean, you know, North Carolina, there's a lot of very liberal people in North Carolina now.
Yeah, speaking of liberal people, the Kennedy family endorses Biden.
I mean, is this supposed to hurt JFK? Or Robert F. K. Robert Kennedy. Yeah, RFK. I mean, yeah, like who takes an endorsement from these clowns? You know, like who cares who the Kennedy family endorses? I really don't know. But yeah, the Robert Kennedy family's endorsed Joe Biden last week and would not endorse Robert F. Kennedy's independent bid for president. This is the silliest thing ever.
Including his 10 siblings.
Including his 10 siblings.
Where did RFK find time to be attorney general? I mean, good Lord. I mean, he died relatively young.
He did and had 10. He had a lot of kids.
11 kids.
Yes.
Oh, do you know who Robert Kennedy Jr.'s wife is?
Uh-uh.
Cheryl Hines, the actress.
Oh, okay. I didn't know if that was like the Hines ketchup or what.
No. Cheryl Hines is actress from Curb Your Enthusiasm. She's been in a lot of stuff.
Huh. Yeah, I'm just, but, you know, the Kennedys. I mean, who cares who the Kennedys endorsed? And then they try to talk about an endorsement, how Robert Kennedy didn't represent their values. And I'm like, what values exactly does the Kennedy family have? I mean, Ted, do we really want to talk about him?
Oh, Teddy.
Yeah, so mate.
Oh, Mister, I can drive, no problem.
Yeah, so heck with who the Kennedys endorse. I don't care. This is the silliest thing ever.
I don't care about the Kennedys. I don't care about the Bushes.
Now, what's interesting is this. Yeah, endorsements, they matter a little bit, but not like this doesn't matter, right? This is not going to swing one vote, them endorsing Biden.
No, if you were in love with the Kennedys, you were already voting Biden. It's not like
exactly.
You're not like you're in the Trump camp and like, okay, all right, yeah, we're gonna get the orange man back in office, get our taxes down. Oh, the Kennedys endorse the senile old man. Oh, you know what? Let's dump the orange man and go with the senile man. I don't think it adds anything to them.
I don't either.
The House majority is down to one as of last Friday.
Isn't that crazy? So Representative Mike Gallagher out of Wisconsin, he was the chair of the China Select Committee, said last week he'll resign on April 19th, which is a couple days in the past. So the House majority, the House Republican majority is down to one vote at this point. Isn't that nuts? He said he's resigning effective immediately. He's still going to represent his district until the end of the year, but he is not going to be in D.C. any longer. Yeah, the Speaker of the House is having a hard time. His majority's down to one. I don't know if you saw, but Marjorie Taylor Greene, she's got like three people now to sign on the motion to vacate the chair. Plus, he's almost done at this point. It's just total disarray.
First of all, what is this guy's problem? What is Mike Gallagher's problem? Ride it out.
Yeah, he's a young guy. He was 40 years old. He was one of these, I hate this word, seen as a rising star in the GOP. But he was a young guy. He's taking a job in a private sector. So, I was reading his thing. He said, after a conversation with my family, I've made a decision to resign my position in the House Representatives for Wisconsin's 8th Congressional District, effective April 19th. You know, they're all saying the people that are resigning are saying it's just total chaos up there. Look, it's a lack of leadership at the end of the day. You see this in private business. If you have a bad leader, people start leaving and they find other stuff to do. And it's the same thing in D.C. There's no leadership up there. So even these representatives are going, yeah, it's a disaster. We got poor leadership. We're getting out of here.
All right. Lesson I learned when I was very, very young. I played soccer for one season. Hated it. Absolutely hated it. But I finished the season. And my parents told me, you don't have to sign up for it again. But you made a commitment to a team and you're going to see it through. I view this much the same way. He's not sick. This isn't a situation where he got diagnosed with cancer and he didn't get appointed
to another job like some people do. Yeah, I mean, it's just him saying, I'm done, right?
You spend millions of dollars getting that position. Millions of other people's dollars to get that position.
People depend on you.
And it is to leave.
This is the worst seven way. And a half this months is the early, worst way to do it. Yep, this is totally the worst way to do it.
It's disrespectful to his voters. It's disrespectful to his donors. It's disrespectful to the people of the United States. It's 7 months. sit there, do your time, resign from the committee if you want to.
I know.
Step down from leadership in the committee and go and sit in your office. And when the House is in session, go sit in your chair, vote yes, vote no, then go back to your office. Just ride it out.
Yeah, this is the worst way to do it. It really is.
And look, had he resigned in January, they could have had a special election for him.
Yeah, I don't know what the deal is now.
Well, I guess it's going to be a jungle primary in November. I imagine it's too late to get together a jungle primary for the
primaries. It depends on what Wisconsin laws are. I don't know. I think every state does it slightly different, but yeah, I don't know what'll happen now. But good grief! I mean, just stepping down right in the middle of a term is chicken sh.
It is. It is. You know? It's if you made a promise to the voters.
You did.
You made a promise. And you said, I'm signing up for 2 years. You don't have to run for re-election. But you said, I'm going to give you 2 years. And it's not like a Senate. He didn't sign up for six.
Yep.
2 years. And you're almost done with it. You've done one and about a third of it. Right at the other two-thirds of the year and just roll with it, man.
Yep.
Just be an adult, be a man. Put your head down and do your damn job.
Yep.
All right. More idiocy. Ilhan Omar's daughter was arrested.
Yeah, I can't even say her name. It's Isra Hirsi, I guess. She describes herself as a communist or socialist communist on Twitter. Isn't that amazing? So we've got a sitting House representative and their daughter is a socialist communist. But she was among more than 100 protesters arrested last Thursday on Columbia University's campus in New York as police were called in to break up those who pitched tents to stage a pro-Palestinian protest. So we've got a sitting congressman's daughter protesting the war in Israel.
First of all, they don't know what they're protesting. They're being indoctrinated. I was watching a Columbia student on one of the news programs, and she said she doesn't want to go to graduation anymore. She was, I recognize these people. I take classes with these people.
Yep.
And they're calling for genocide, for my genocide.
Yeah.
And she said there's a professor that teaches an Israeli course about the conflict between the Israelis and Palestinians. It does a course on it, and it is all pro-Palestinian. Talking about the occupation from the river to the sea, all that stuff.
Yep.
And these kids are being indoctrinated.
Yeah.
Hey, look, half these quote-unquote protesters are professionals.
Mm-hmm.
They get bussed in. They're the same people that were doing BLM stuff. They get bussed in. They get paid, and this is what they do for a living, is go from cause to cause to cause to cause. So, you know, BLM, they're wearing shirts with a fist on it or a can't breathe shirts or whatever, wherever. Or the worst was, I can't remember whose father it was, said gone too soon. And it was T-O instead of T-O-O. So the meme was, I don't know where soon is, but that's where he's gone.
Yeah. And I don't know if you saw this. That was Ilhan Omar's daughter, but there were quite a few Google employees that protested last week too. They staged sit-in protests in Google offices in Silicon Valley, New York, and Seattle. And Google fired those people. So they fired 28 employees who were part of this No Tech for Apartheid group. So good for Google. I mean, can you imagine can you imagine having a job at Google, which you're probably making, you know, 100,000 easy, 100,000 plus, because you're working in one of these big cities. And you're so mad about the war over in Israel that you protest in your employee's office. And they should have been fired. I mean, I would hope my boss would fire me if I did something this stupid.
Oh, can you imagine being so mad to go set yourself on fire like the guy did Friday afternoon or Friday morning?
Yeah, that happened Friday morning.
Outside of the Trump trial. And I mean,
Yeah,
these
I don't
people
get
are
it.
Stupid. That guy was crazy.
Guy was crazy. If you don't know what we're talking about, a guy set himself on fire last week. And the video is hard to watch, but he literally sets himself on fire and he stands up while he is fully engulfed in flames for about 20 seconds before he actually falls over. But I mean, and, how bad, I mean, what kind of state does your mind have to be into to pour gas on yourself and set yourself on fire?
And as of recording, he was in critical condition.
I have no clue how he lived. I don't know how he lived that.
Richard Pryor lived for another 30 years.
Yeah, this is terrible, though.
Yeah, and that guy has a master's degree, master's from Duke. I mean, he's smart, but he was off his rocker for sure. like he needed help. Like somebody in his life should have said, let's get you in to talk to somebody because that dude needed inpatient care.
Right.
But with these protesters, they don't care about the Palestinians. They don't care about the Israelis. This is just the cause du jour.
Jeez.
And next week it'll be something else.
It will be. Yep, totally.
I just don't get it. This is a good time to remind you these are our opinions and not those of anyone not on the show or any respective company for which we may work, own, or otherwise associate ourselves with on a regular or irregular basis. Also, you can find other episodes and relevant stories over at thegeorgiavirtue.com. So, Kenny, I didn't realize that Savannah was rural.
I didn't either. I saw this again on Jessica's Georgia Virtue this week, but Governor Kemp's given the city of Savannah a $2.5 million rural workforce housing money grant. So Kemp's press release Wednesday said the money is for a development project to provide 50 homes. The city of Savannah will receive $2.5 million to construct necessary sewer infrastructure improvements to complete the 66-acre legacy development that will support 30 new single-family homes and 20 townhouses. Built by this developer. So this is really what it's about, right? P3JVG. I don't know what that stands for. But this is real Georgia workforce money. I don't see how the city of Savannah would get any real workforce money.
They have a port. They a huge tourism. I mean, I don't know what would make anybody think that Savannah is rural.
I don't either, and I mean, there's plenty of other places around the state of Georgia that if you want to do this, that's a lot more rural than Georgia and is really struggling from a housing perspective. Honestly, I didn't know it was the government's job either to build single-family homes, but that's kind of a topic for another day. I don't like giving out special grants like this. I assume that this real estate developer down there is tied in with government pretty well, lobbied hard for this money, And I hate to say some shady things are going on, but this seems a little on the shady side.
What about the town that's building a hotel?
Yeah, that's below me. Yeah, Thomaston, Georgia. Their city government signed on to build a hotel a couple of weeks ago. I mean, they're signing on the bonds to build a 100 room hotel. Yeah, I mean, I think the city, I mean, we just got this thing where city and county governments, they just don't realize how to stay in their lane. And then the worst thing is you've got even the city of Griffin above me built this beautiful swimming complex that high schools will have swim meets at and, you know, local people will be able to use. But after they spend all this money building it, they don't have money in the budget to actually maintain it. City of Griffin also has a golf course. I mean, when is a city supposed to be doing stuff like maintaining golf courses or swimming pools or building hotels or, it's just we wonder why our property taxes continue going up. It's because cities get over their head on these type projects and then they have to raise taxes on people to support them.
Look, I'm pretty hard line with this is why I'll never be elected county commissioner. They put a questionnaire out. What should they do with the area that the county owns around our new reservoir?
Sell it.
That's what I said. It's outside of the minimum buffer required by the EPA because it is drinking water.
Yes, you should sell it back to the people.
Sell it and move on. I feel the same thing about the parks. We have beautiful parks in Paulding County. Sell them. Now, and a lot of them are donated land and all that stuff, but you have to pay to maintain it.
Yeah, the maintenance is what costs a lot. Yeah, 100%.
Sell it. Get rid of it. Get rid of the libraries. The entire total of human knowledge now fits in the palm of your hand.
You know, I hear you about libraries. I'm also going to throw the other point of view. There are a lot of young kids that go to libraries to study or to meet up or to get on the internet. It's a lot different, I think, in rural Georgia than it is you know, where you live, where everybody's got high-speed internet. Not that I'm advocating for libraries. It's just that...
Oh, no. There's areas of our county that don't have high-speed internet, and there's something that they call the Chevronalds.
Yep.
It's a McDonald's Chevron.
Yep.
And kids will go and get a fountain drink and go to the McDonald's and sit down to use their internet because they don't have access to the internet. But you have access to the schools. You have even a high school. I mean, when the bell rings, not everybody leaves. You still have access to most of the school if you want to go sit in the library and do work or whatever before you leave.
I get why the cities and counties do this. I mean, the elected officials, they want to look like they're doing something. We talk about this all the time. And, you know, they'd love to have that brand new pool built. They'd love to, you know, take their shovel out there and break ground on it. And then when it's finished, they'd love to cut that ribbon. But then after the fact, you've got all these expenses and you don't have the money to maintain it. And that's the trouble with most of this stuff.
Yeah, you can't ignore a pool.
Oh, no.
I don't know if you've ever had a pool.
I have. They're very costly.
It is constant maintenance. It is.
Yep, it is.
Going out every day, if not every other day, checking the chemicals.
Yep.
Cleaning the skimmer. And look, if it's your pool, it's not that big of a deal. It's becomes part of your routine to do that. But when you're talking about the county has to hire somebody to do that. And they have to have a pool certificate and all that stuff. And they have to maintain chemicals daily. Because if it gets out of whack, it becomes a health hazard.
Yep.
And it has to be heated because I assume it's inside.
Oh, yeah.
So
but you're talking about county. I mean, these governments just need to stay in their lane, do what they're good at doing, which is very little, but roads, bridges, infrastructure. And we don't need to be building pools or hotels or. And a state government doesn't need to be giving my tax dollars to build townhomes in Savannah. I mean, I think if you took that question out to the voters and said, do you support Governor Kemp giving your tax dollars to Savannah to build houses? I think it would be a pretty, you know, I think no would be the answer a large majority of the time.
I wouldn't give the mayor of Savannah anything.
Yeah, like why do I want my tax dollars going to build homes in Savannah?
And Van is going to be able to stand out front and say, pander to his base and say, look what I'm doing for the people of Savannah.
Yeah. And this is a guy that's probably going to run for governor next time around. So, I mean, it's like you're giving money again to people that are not going to vote for you. You're giving it to a liberal city. And again, you just shouldn't be giving $2.5 million out.
I'm assuming the developer that's going to make the money on this,
we'll track his campaign donations down.
Yeah, that's going to be my guess.
I'm probably pretty certain he's connected.
Yeah, you don't get that job by accident.
No, you didn't.
So Johnson gets what he wants. The developer gets what he wants. Kemp gets to pay somebody back for support. And they're all, you know, they're all happy while the rest of us are going, hey, I had to write a big old check to the Fed and the state last week.
Yep, I agree.
Ah, damn scumbags. Speaking of Governor Kemp, he signed the bill, quote unquote, reducing income taxes.
Yes, we're going to have a ton more money in our pocket next year, right? It's good anytime they reduce the state income tax, so that's good. This is speeding up plans that were first passed back in 2022 to gradually reduce state income tax from 5.75 to 4.99. The drop this year, though, is going to take it from 5.49% in January to 5.39%. So you're saving 10 basis points. That's how us finance people talk. But basically, on $100,000, you'll save an extra $100,000 this year in taxes.
Oh, good Lord.
So you and Connie can go out to dinner on your $100 that you save. It'll be a lot more for you, but... For us other people out in the country, it'll be about $100.
Well, there aren't many restaurants that we go to we can eat on less than $100.
Hey, good for Governor Kemp and the legislature for reducing the state income tax. I just, you know, I've always said when you got the Senate, you got the House, and you got the governor all together, It's just like school choice, where the school choice bill they passed was very, very narrow. This, again, is very narrow. I mean, when you get the opportunity to do this kind of stuff, go big. And we could have gone big and reduced it a lot more than we did.
Yeah, what's the goal? To get down to 4.99 by...
Yeah, I forget what year. It's going to take quite a few years. Yeah, but the goal is to get it right around 5%.
And look, they can do it with one bill. We have money in the rainy day fund.
They're trying to be prudent with, you know, making sure they don't take too much money out of the budget. But yeah, I mean, the budget, we talk about it all the time. The budget's gone from $26 billion in 2019 to $36 billion this year. That's a lot of money that's gone up.
And there's no excuse for it. Now, look, yes, inflation. Inflation hits governments just like it hits us. Well, not the federal government, because they just continue to keep issuing bonds.
Yeah, but it hits state government. Gas costs more. Products they buy cost more. I get it. But everybody's suffering from inflation. So,
right. But you know, in order to compete, you have to pay more. So employee costs go up.
Yep.
Replacing vehicles. So just take DNR, for example. DNR drives some of the oldest vehicles you've ever seen. But when they have to replace a truck that, you know, 5 years ago, pre-COVID, they could have bought for $25,000. That's usually just like an F-150, single cab, whatever. And now it's double that.
Mm-hmm.
Even on the government purchasing plan. So you think about all the vehicles you see that have tags to say state government on it. All those vehicles have gotten more expensive. Insuring them, well, I think the state probably self-insures, but insuring them has gotten more expensive.
Yep.
So everything has gotten more expensive. So yeah, you're going to see some climb in the budget. But as incomes come up, numbers only, the value of your dollar hasn't gone up.
Right.
The state's collecting more money. And I know that we're all waiting for the other shoe to drop and the economy fall apart and have people out of work, because that's what Jerome Powell wants, people out of work. And you see receipts go down. But honestly, we should be able to get rid of the income tax completely.
Yep.
Other states do it. Tennessee does it.
No, I know. I agree.
Florida's not really a fair case study, because it's the tourists pay for Florida.
Yep.
You know, hotel taxes and all that stuff. The tourists really keep Florida afloat. And of course, well, tourists also, the cruise ports, and Florida makes a ton of money doing that. But Tennessee is, I mean, you have Gatlinburg, I guess, and you have University of Tennessee games. But Tennessee isn't really even Memphis is not a huge tourist draw like Florida is. So why can Tennessee get away without having an income tax and we can't?
Yep.
It's because no one's motivated to do it.
Yeah, that's what it is.
And I know this was what John Burns wanted. He wanted to step into that office and be able to tout a income tax cut. And look, all the reps get to come back to their districts, and if they have a primary challenger, and say, I worked and will continue to work to lower the state income taxes until we can eventually eliminate it, and the crowd will clap and they'll get reelected.
Is that how it works?
Seems to be, especially in solid red districts.
Okay, I'm so confused now, going back to our story. So I looked up real quick. I know we got to move on, but Craig Gordon is, it sounds like, a partner in that real estate investment, that real estate firm we talked about earlier, and he's a former state representative, so... There we go. Well, we'll definitely have to update. I'll have to do more research on that, but I just searched who owned that company, and a former state representative is a partner. So that's the kicker.
Was it Stereo MCs that did the song Connected? Get Yourself Connected. The writing is on the wall.
Exactly. Oh, goodness. I think that's my closing thought. There we go. It's all connected somehow. I mean, you just see how government works, right?
Oh, yeah. And that's...
Oh, goodness.
But I called it.
Yes, you 100% called it.
I called it, man. There ain't no way that this guy isn't in the
crowd. Things just don't happen, right? There's always a reason.
And I the story is a little confusing. I don't know. We're talking about the previous story, Savannah. I don't know if the $2.5 million is just for bringing utilities and the builder will actually be selling the houses. So it'll be individual owners that they get the houses. They won't be owned by the city. The $2.5 million is for sewer and water and all
that
stuff.
Yeah, a lot of it's for the infrastructure. Yeah, a lot of it's for the infrastructure. Yeah, because so Savannah's putting in 3.1. State government puts in 2.5. Savannah puts in 3.1 to build all this. Which at the end of the day, each home then corresponds to about $110,000, I think is what the investment is.
Right. I'm guessing being in Savannah, depending on where in Savannah it is, I'm guessing the houses will go for 500 plus.
I don't know. I don't know if it's that or this is low income. I'm not sure.
I don't know.
We'll have to look that up later.
Low income housing is a loser for the builder.
Yeah. But I mean, he doesn't care if he gets paid, so we'll see.
Well, right. He's paid. I'm sorry. It's a loser for investors. I guess that's why government's involved in it. It's a loser for investors.
Exactly.
So yeah, if you take $110,000 off the cost of building that house, yeah, you can sell them for close to $300,000.
Yep.
And townhouses maybe for $250,000, $225,000, something like that. Yep. Townhouses are horrible mechanically speaking, by the way. Try to heat and cool a three-story townhouse is a nightmare. They try to do off of one system.
Yeah.
I don't know if anybody knows this. Heat rises. All right, so that's your closing thought.
Well, no, I was going to have one more. I was going to say that as the show drops, early voting starts in another week. It feels like people are just starting to sort of get fired up about these elections coming up. But, yeah, we've got this congressional race down in CD3, your congressional district 3, that is full speed ahead. Brian Jack is has been endorsed by President Trump. He's bringing Kerry Lake in from Arizona this weekend. I don't know why anybody would bring Kerry Lake in from Arizona to speak on their behalf. And then you've got Mike Crane, who has picked up a lot of momentum down here. Mike's the previous state senator and was the chairman of the 3rd District Republican Party. So that district is about to get really heated up when these guys start spending money next week. So I'm interested to see what happens here.
Well, I am a prognosticator. There's a guy named Tim Estes that's running for county chairman in Paulding County.
Right.
And I said he's from the Candace Taylor wing of the party.
Oh,
sure enough, last week, Candace shows up as the keynote speaker at one of his campaign events.
How'd that go?
I have no idea. I stayed as far away from it as I could.
Nice.
I don't understand being endorsed by losers.
I don't either.
Candace Taylor's the person who was.
Why would anybody want that?
Yeah, well, she was crushed in the primary. Crushed.
Yep.
Absolutely crushed. I mean, and then she said the election was stolen from her. I'm like, no, honey, you lost by 47 points.
Yep.
If you lose by 47 votes, okay. We need to really take a look at it. When you lose by 47%, like basically you were lied to all over the state. People say, oh, I'm voting for you. Yeah, I don't understand being endorsed by losers, and I don't mean personally a loser, other than she was taking advantage of her position and taking time off to go campaign, and continuing to make. I think she makes like $110,000 down there as a head counselor,
something
for the
in
county.
A school system. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, that's insane what she gets paid, and then she's continuing to get paid while she ran around the state running a losing campaign. So. On those happy stories of politics, big thanks to Eric Cumby, who takes our audio and turns it into something you can listen to Ken Pohl and my partner's endeavor. I'm Dave Roberts. We'll talk to you next week. Catch me howling at the moon.